welcome to Bridal Scene Live. We are covering tonight the Let Them Eat Cake charity event that took place in Philadelphia to benefit City of Hope. I'm Robert Allen.
I'm Holly Ehrlich.
And we have got a very sweet show for you tonight. We are still recovering from the incredible sugar rush that we experienced at this fabulous event in Philadelphia.
Well, pastry chefs definitely showed their best wedding cake designs. There were more than 40 of the region's top pastry professionals and students, right, that competed for top chef honors at the fourth annual Let Them Eat Cake benefit. And then once the cakes were sampled and judged, we were able...
They opened the doors and,
we were able
and
to have
the masses rolled in to sample
the entries,
all these cakes. And I have to tell you, I've never had... Even, you know, you just take like one forkful. Like, you're not even eating the whole piece. You're eating just one forkful.
And they actually cut very, very large slices.
They were very big pieces.
And they actually had only one... They had to have cakes separate. Like, they had their design, and then they had to have separate layers that they would serve.
Right. Well, I was talking to some of the organizers of the event in how it came together. You know, obviously, you learn as you go along. And what they found out in the first years of doing this, they would judge the cake, then people would come along and eat it, and these cakes would get destroyed, essentially eaten, so that people who would come a little bit later on wouldn't get to see the cakes.
So lesson learned. So.
Right. So what each cake creator, each chef did was to create the identical recipe in sheet cakes that they could serve while still leaving their original design intact, which I think is a fabulous idea, so that everyone can enjoy, you know, once they announce the winners at the end, you can go over to the cake and see, oh, how beautiful, how, you know.
But you want to know what? If you even go into a bakery or a cake designer's shop, they mostly have photos to show you. Like here, you were really able to see, you know.
You know, an original design, first of all.
And then taste delicious fillings and flavors.
What was interesting was, you know, remember the cake, the chef is choosing the cake, the filling.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not doing this for a client. They get to pick what they want, what they think is the best, which is really kind of...
Which we'll hear about a little bit more later. Yeah. But you know what I did before we were going to record this today? I did a little Google search, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about the wedding cake and, you know, its history and customs and traditions. And, you know, the history of the wedding cake, it goes back as far as the Roman Empire. And what I thought was really cool, wedding cakes used to be made of wheat. They were like called little wheat cakes. And instead of cutting the cake, the people broke the wheat cakes over the bride's head. And this was supposed to bring her good luck in her married life. Well, obviously that's not practiced anymore.
Well, maybe that's where the whole cake smashing in the face thing comes from.
Well, the customs evolved. And what's happened is that now we have the ceremonial cutting of the wedding cake.
Yes.
And it's probably one of the most classic elements of the wedding reception.
Well, now, you know, you walk into any wedding reception, and as long as the cake doesn't need to be refrigerated,
isn't it usually featured?
It's on display as, you know, an edible work of art in many cases.
But so then it becomes a great photo opportunity.
Oh, you know, you should see when people first come in to a room, one of the first things that they do, and brides and grooms don't see this because they're not privy to how people react when they walk into the reception room. As with all of the other functions of the wedding day, the bride and groom are typically the last ones to experience something. Whether it be the bride coming down the aisle, she's the last one down and she's the first one out. She sees nothing of the processional. To the fact that the bride and groom are usually somewhere else while their guests come into the room for the first time, so they miss all the oohs and ahs of their guest. But one of the things that happens is typically the guests will go over to the wedding cake and take a photograph of the wedding cake. It's almost, you know, always done, and especially now with everyone who walks into a wedding's got a camera of some sort in their hand. And then, of course, if they don't have a camera per se, they've got a cell phone with a camera in it.
Right, which more and more people are just taking photos on the spot.
It's amazing how many photographs are taken of that wedding cake.
But then the most well-known tradition associated with wedding cakes is the joint task of cutting the cake. It really has come to symbolize the first task in the couple's life together. And like we've said, it's also the key image for the wedding photographer to capture.
Right.
And it used to be, the sole duty of the bride to cut the cake for sharing. But as these cakes became larger and more grand, the task became harder. So, especially when we started having these multi-tiers. So because it was harder to cut through, well, obviously, okay, you needed a little help. That's what I read.
Here's the reason
a little
why
more help.
It's hard to cut through.
So it's more necessity than symbolism is what it says.
Let me give a little bit of advice here to our couples that are going to be at their cake and cutting the cake, and they're going to try and cut into the cake, and they can't cut it. For some reason, the knife just won't move through this icing. Well, that's because you've got the knife resting on top of the round, circular, either cardboard or press board that is between the layers, and you're trying to cut on top of that. You have to put the knife in just below that cardboard and cut. Otherwise, you'll never get through that. All couples make that mistake, unless they've got a good maitre d' that shows them where to place that knife right below that cardboard circle. But each layer is held up by a disc of some kind in between layers.
Well, you need some sort of platform for the cake, right? And then the other
otherwise
thing, very often couples decide they like to save the top tier for a later time. And this even has...
But we actually...
But Mark
gave us,
from Queen of Hearts...
we're going to hear from in a moment. Mark Kingsdorf from Queen of Hearts Wedding Consulting in the Philadelphia area, gave us one of the best tips we've ever heard.
In our Getting Married in Philadelphia
podcast.
Right,
Getting Married Special Edition in Philadelphia. Most couples save the top of the wedding cake for their first anniversary. And what typically happens is the cake, depending on how it's wrapped, may not make it to that full 1 year.
But just so you know, wait, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second, because the reason they decided to save the top is because the tradition has its roots in the late 19th century when the cakes were baked for the occasion of a christening of a child. So it is expected that the child would come fairly soon after the wedding. So the two ceremonies were often linked, as were the cakes. So that was tradition.
Okay, now back to Mark Kingsdorf.
Okay.
Mark Kingsdorf's idea. What you should do is take the top layer of your cake and have your caterer, if they have I would think it would work best with a vacuum sealer. So maybe if one of your parents have a vacuum sealer or you have a vacuum sealer, what he suggested is take that top layer of the cake and cut it into 12 equal portions, wrap them. I would suggest if you have a vacuum sealer to put them in a vacuum bag. And then every month on your 1 month anniversary, enjoy a slice of the cake.
For the very first year, until your first anniversary.
Until your first anniversary. So at least, for the first few months, even if you don't have a vacuum sealer and you just wrap it very well in saran wrap or foil or something and you freeze it, at least for the first few months, you'll have a tasty piece of cake.
I think that's a great idea.
By the 12th month. And I have to say, I shot a 50th anniversary party at least 10 years ago. And this couple who was celebrating, the wife, did most of this, put out on display lots of different memorabilia, like her wedding gown was there, and they had a wedding invitation and all sorts of things. And believe it or not, she had her frozen wedding cake there that was 50 years old.
It was in my grandma Ray would have had it. My grandma Ray would have had it too.
Years. No one ate it. It was just on display.
For show.
But it was just like a simple sheet cake kind of a thing.
But again, it's a symbol.
But it was the wedding cake, and it was 50 years old.
But no matter how you slice it, the bride and groom still cut the cake together for the love. What did I say? What'd you say?
No matter how you slice it.
No matter the bride and groom still cut the cake together simply for the love of tradition.
Yay. So we had a really great time at this event, and it was for a fabulous cause. And we started off by cornering Mark Kingsdorf, who was one of the lead organizers of this event, and got him to tell us a little bit about the history and why it's so important. Okay, I'm with Mark Kingsdorf, who is one of the lead organizers of this event. Tell us what makes this event so important to you personally before we talk about the event in general.
Well, I've always done events for City of Hope, and we decided several years back that we wanted to do a wedding industry specific event. Being a classically trained chef and having not worked in pastry but worked in the food industry most of my life, I liked mixing food and wedding and doing a fundraiser. My mother died of breast cancer 20 years ago. She was diagnosed when I was probably 8 years old and outlived the diagnosis until we were all grown and on our own. So we've named the event in honor of my mother, which is getting harder and harder to deal with rather than easier and easier, because the more successful the event gets, the more overwhelming it is. My sister is here, and she came up to me and said, "Mom would have loved this." So really cool. We've got a lot of great people participating, not only pastry chefs, and we've got huge numbers this year, but over half of the volunteers are other wedding consultants that are technically my competition, who are all stepping up to work registration, help total scores, greet guests, just have a great time with it. So that's really cool for me.
Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think that in the wedding industry in general? I mean, you know, we see it at things like this, but when you have good causes, I mean, everyone really does come together for that. They're really, you know, the competition kind of breaks down. Does that have something to do, you think, with the business in general and what we deal with?
I do. I think that in general, wedding and event people love to throw a good party, so they want to be involved in something like this. I also know that because our client base are women who are of an age where breast and ovarian cancer are really very prevalent between brides and moms and family members, that everybody really wants to jump in and do what they can. Everybody here knows somebody who has had a cancer diagnosis or somebody who has died of cancer, and they all want to jump in and help. And it's not about competition. None of us are here trying to book brides. We're just here representing the wedding industry.
Okay. And this happens once a year in April, typically.
This is our third year. We've always done it in April. Okay. Honestly, most of our pastry chefs are saying, can we do it a little bit earlier so that we miss the beginning of the season? My problem is that we're always trying to dodge either bad weather, busy season, or everybody that gave up wedding cake or cake in general for Lent, and then we have Passover. So there's a chance we're going to go earlier next year just to see that we can get more pastry chefs involved.
Okay, because I think this is really an event not to be missed. If you're either planning a wedding or if you just love cake and want to support a great cause, this is some place that you need to be.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for having us in.
Thank you.
What a fabulous reason to have started this benefit.
He's really quite a guy. I mean, just
very giving.
Again, one of these wedding professionals, you know, for those, I mean, we have a lot of listeners who are wedding professionals, and you may know Mark personally, but if you're a bride and a groom, you know, the wedding industry is very unique in that people get very involved and get well known amongst their peers. And Mark is definitely one of those guys who's very involved in the industry at large. Does great work for charity, produces some great events, speaks all over the country, and is really just a fabulous guy. And we're so happy that we can lend a hand here in support of this charity. And, you know, of course, we will have complete information about links and contacts and how you can help, how you can participate next year on our website. So check out our show notes. And one of the things that I really loved about this event was how they incorporated students into the mix.
Yeah, it was inspiring.
Yeah, really great.
Their reasons and who their mentors are, it was interesting to hear, because we knew some number of them personally, again. So
it's interesting how they, you know, pick certain people to look up to within the industry, you know, and you don't kind of realize.
And they really, you know, are the top of their craft.
They are.
And they're learning about them in the Culinary Institute, which I think was one of the main schools that was presented.
In Philadelphia. Yeah, well, they talk about it, and we got a chance to speak to the students as we were upstairs in our second level. And just to let you know, this is an enhanced podcast, so you can, if you're listening on an iPod or on your computer, on iTunes or QuickTime, you should be seeing a series of photographs that go along with this, some shots of the cakes and things like that.
And you know what you should do? I think everybody should get a glass of champagne now.
Champagne and a ring ding.
Just kidding.
Well,
just kidding.
Maybe get some wedding cake.
That's my kind of wedding cake. Actually, you know, believe it or not, I've done rehearsal dinners, one rehearsal dinner in particular, where the dessert was all of these commercial cakes, you know, ringdings and Twinkies and yodels and devil dogs. And they were piled up like in snowballs, the pink snowballs, in pyramids. They were stacked up and put on the table.
I particularly like that. I like coconut. Not everyone likes coconut. Yeah, I don't think like a lot of people have coconut.
I don't like the snowballs. But we got a chance to speak to a bunch of the students.
Well, hello, Annette Strickland. Tell us a little bit about your entry today. You're another student at
the Art Institute.
Have you ever made a wedding cake before?
No, I've never made a wedding cake before. And everything broke. And all of my things were not here. But it ended up turning out more beautiful than I can ever imagine.
Well, that's a lesson learned, right? For everyone, even brides planning their wedding, they're so stressed out and everything breaks and it can be fat.
Perfect.
Isn't that cool?
That's beautiful.
Well, tell us about your great cake.
Okay. Today I've made a four-tier cake. It's made of buttercream, fondant icing, and royal icing. And they're made like baskets. One basket has flowers, and then the rest are fruit baskets. The cake is made out of mocha fudge and with a white chocolate ganache filling.
Oh, I love ganache. I think a lot of people like ganache. I think that's a popular filling,
it's
right?
It's more popular than what it used to be. More people are getting into it now than they did before.
So as a student in school, what have you learned about wedding cake design that is important to know for if you were catering to a bride and groom planning her wedding cake?
You have to have more patience than anyone else, and you have to learn how to keep your cool, because just like today, everything else around you can go wrong, but you're going to have to be able to take care of everything so your bride and your groom is happy. That's what I've learned today mainly. And in school, they teach you things are not as they seem. One day they want one thing, and next day they're going to want another, and they're going to learn how to
roll with the punches.
Roll with the punches.
Do you think that you are going to become a wedding cake designer?
I'm definitely going to become a wedding cake designer.
Yeah, well,
yes.
You're up for the challenge.
Oh, yes. And it's just not for the money. I like to see my bride and my grooms happy. That's what makes me happy. When I see them smile, then that just makes my day. No.
Now, the brides and grooms are going to be real lucky to have you as their cake designer. Are there any designers that you've learned about in school that really inspire you?
No, not really. Most of my chefs in school inspire me, and they are my mentors. So that's who I look up to right now.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Miss Holly and Mr. Robert.
What is your name?
My name is Maura Frumbacher.
And tell us a little bit about your design and your inspiration and your cake.
My cake, this is the third wedding cake that I've designed over the years, and I like to look at like a lot of different cakes and take components from different ones and make it into like my own cake. So this kind of my inspiration is generally just parts of other people's cakes to put together.
Well, that's pretty cool. So, and what is it going to taste like?
My cake is a almond pound cake with blackberry frosting. Which I think is, to me, it's a little bit different, but not too out there. It tastes really, really good.
Well, that's an important component, right? I mean, I guess the judges are going to be judging on both how it looks visually on the outside as well as how delicious it is on the inside. Do you have a particular favorite color or flower or detail that would be signature to your cakes in the future?
This is the second one I've done in kind of the blue-violet range, which is one of my favorite colors. So, and also, I haven't done a whole lot of flowers just because I like to do different components. I mean, you know, flowers are on just about every wedding cake you see, so I like to do something different.
Okay. Well, different works. Different is what people are looking for, so best of luck to you. Thank you. Have you done this competition before?
I've never done this before. It was just such an opportunity, and you know, the school took care of all the prices and they took care of all the entry fees. So it was just free to us. And then we had a mentor helping us the entire way from the planning to getting it here. And this is an amazing opportunity. You couldn't pass this up.
Have you ever designed a cake before? A wedding cake, no, especially?
No, never. No, I looked on the internet for hours trying to find the perfect design. And
what did you find on the internet that really caught your eye, that you liked, that inspired you? Anything?
Well, I like all the things with colors, and I like Colette Peters' more normal cakes, the ones that aren't all topsy-turvy. I like cakes like that. And Ron Ben Israel has amazing flowers. So I did a flower cake just to be inspired, because there's so many amazing artists in this field, and we're only just now getting to, you know, be introduced to them. So
they teach you about all of these key designers in school? Mm-hmm. Like, tell us. I mean, we know personally Ron. Hi, Ron. And tell us about some of the other designers you learn about in school, because they tune into us all the time, and they love hearing, like, what particular designers inspire you.
Mike McCrary, he's in Oregon or Washington. And we talk a lot about the competitions we see on TV, about what they did right and what they did wrong, like what we shouldn't do, what they do that's shortcuts that just wouldn't work for the average person. We do a lot of like topical. We look around at the competitions that are going on, and our chefs are all very involved. They're always competing, and they all have their own businesses.
But ultimately, the bride and groom are going to be the ones that are going to be
right.
your ultimate customer
right.
and tasting yeah. these cakes and wanting to see something beautiful. So tell us a little bit about the cake you designed and a little about even about the insides
okay.
of it.
My favorite cake is this Earl Grey chocolate cake. And I was introduced to it years ago in Real Simple, and I make it all the time. And it's just such a unique flavor. It's not too chocolatey, and it's not a lot of Earl Grey. It's just kind of like a nice, refreshing cake. And I think, and I gave my boss is getting married, and I gave her some to try, and she said, oh, this has to be my cake. And I thought, well, okay, first customer, that's awesome. And it's just, you know, part of this competition that she said that. And I wanted a cake that was delicate and floral and springy, because we're going into that. So if a bride were to see my cake today and say, I have to have that, you know, next week, I could do it now because I have the experience, and I now have all the techniques down. And I think that's the big thing, is just learning everything in school, so that when a bride comes up to you and says something that to her sounds so impossible, you can say, I can do that, and you can reassure. And that's what we got from the school, was all the nuts and bolts to do all the, you know, everything, from making everything to putting it together.
And what is your name again?
My name is Marka Ackley.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
My name is Lisa. I'm from the Art Institute of Philadelphia. I decided to enter just as a, I've never done anything like this before. I'm still in school, so I'm, you know, kind of testing the waters to see what I wanted to do. And one of my instructors brought this whole thing to my attention, and it sounded like something that would be very challenging and very, I have learned quite a lot about this whole process and the whole, you know, wedding cake business kind of thing.
Do you think you're going to go into the business?
Possibly, yes. I did it. I mean, it was very stressful at times, but it was enjoyable too at times, just to actually, and seeing my cake now is just so much relief from it, and I'm very, very pleased.
Tell us about the cake.
My cake is a lemon lavender pound cake with a lemon curd filling, and the style of the cake is kind of like a tropical kind of, I would see it as like a tropical kind of like beachy wedding kind of thing. It's got, there's kind of, there's orchids and lilies and such and on the cake.
What inspired you to make that kind of cake?
The flowers, the detail and the intricacies of all the different flowers. They're very complicated flowers. And it was a challenge for me. And, it was very rewarding to see them actually get done. And it was just, I love orchids are my favorite flowers too. So that was another thing that kind of drew me to those kinds of things.
That's great. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
You know, I think I enjoyed talking to the students better than anyone. I mean, it's just so neat to see someone at the kind of the start of their career and doing something like this for the first time and really creating some very beautiful cakes and some very tasty,
very
you know, cakes. I mean, it's just, it was really great to see them there doing
well. It was
that.
Original.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool that they mentioned a number of the pastry chefs and
right.
wedding
Ron,
cake designers.
Ron Ben Israel is a fabulous cake designer, and he's got a studio bakery in Soho in New York City.
And we actually didn't, we did a show with him.
And he's on
another Meet the Masters show.
He's on the network of Meet the Masters.
Come if you
on,
want to listen to his.
Really great.
He really, his flowers
interview.
Are.
Yeah, I was at the New York Magazine show. I watched him creating some of the flowers right there on the spot. And just, you know, magic. Just
he's
total
a master.
Magic.
Yeah, he's a master
he's really
at what
great.
He does.
And he just, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, makes a connection with you. You know, I've shot so many weddings that of brides that have used his cakes, you know, from Geraldo Rivera to, you know, to so many of my clients, both groom's cakes and wedding cakes. Very cool. The wedding I did at the New York Palace with Elke and Lyle, if you remember, Ron did a fabulous groom's cake, which was a giant tennis ball. A giant tennis ball.
I would love
it
looks, that.
I know you would. It was great. It was
I love
groom
tennis.
Cake. They wheeled it out with the wedding
but
cake.
But that's become more and more popular. The groom's cake. The groom cake,
yeah.
Right? And it's usually...
Geraldo Rivera had his yacht, a replica of his yacht at the wedding.
I know
Erica,
Sylvia has
Erica
told us that also. That she, you know...
She does lots of groom's cakes.
Lots of groom's... And
they mentioned Colette Peters, too, which we know, and we've known her for many years. She's also
whimsical.
And she also
has a shop in downtown New York City.
She actually helped us out for a video shoot for a client of ours a number of years ago that we did. Colette has created all of their cakes throughout all the years of their parties that they would throw. And one of the last parties that I did for this particular client, Colette made these amazing centerpieces. The person that we were doing the party for had a fondness for silver pieces, and she made replicas of a particular piece of silver that was on each of the tables, and that was the cake. So each table had their own cake, and it was a replica of this piece of silver that was a favorite of this particular client. So we actually interviewed Colette for this video that we produced.
Well, you know, the groom's cake was in yesteryear. In early American ceremonies was usually dark to contrast with the bride's cake. And it appeared along with the wedding cake, but no one really sure why this tradition really even started. But it was suggested that the groom cake be saved and shared with friends after the honeymoon. And that doesn't even happen anymore. But what's interesting is that it used to be dark. What I find very interesting is because for the most part, until really, what, 5-10 years, really, in the minds of most people, right, aren't wedding cakes supposed to be white?
Yeah, it's probably been about a dozen years or so.
You know,
we started to see.
Because I don't think we saw one white cake at Let Them Eat Cake.
No.
Okay, but the symbolism.
Well, there was one. I mean, like, we'll actually have an interview coming up. There was this bubble cake that was kind of white shades of
that
white.
That was very cool. But that was champagne bubbles supposed to look like.
But the cake was white. And then there was another cake. I think we have a shot. We might be showing it right now. That the cake was modeled after the gown. Remember that one, that corset?
Yes. Well, actually, that's because very often the white is always denoted purity, right? And the way it related to the wedding cake icing that first appeared in Victorian times. And then another way is that it was a visual link, which is saying between the bride and the cake. So again, the bride's all in white and the cake's all
right.
in white.
So there's quite often, you know, like when we spoke to Sylvia Weinstock, who also is another Meet the Masters on the network, And even when we followed up, when we spoke to her at Market last year, she talked about how she takes her inspiration from the gown design of her clients in how the cake will look.
She may take
a certain pattern.
There's no question. Also, contemporary brides are having their wedding cakes coordinated with their wedding gown color, even if it's not white.
Right. And it was really neat for us to get a chance to speak to some of the cake bakers themselves during this. And as I was saying before, the bubble cake was a real hit of the night, for sure.
Caroline, tell us about this cake, because it is quite whimsical.
My favorite beverage would be champagne, so I picked champagne as my theme. I really enjoy doing sugar work, so I made the blown sugar champagne glasses and champagne bubbles, and to give it...
I love the bubbles. The bubbles that's what made it fun to me.
Yeah, I wanted it to be fun, but still like simple and elegant and clean.
Have you been creating wedding cakes for a long time?
About 6 years.
Okay, is that one of your most favorite things to design as wedding cakes?
Yeah.
as she pauses.
Yeah, I do a lot of fun things with bar mitzvahs and sweet 16s and birthdays, anniversaries.
All special events and celebrations.
All celebrations.
Well, what's the filling?
We have alternating layers of a fudge cake and vanilla sponge cake with a fresh lemon curd filling and raspberry jam.
Well, thank you, and we wish you the best of luck with this competition.
Lisa Smith.
Lisa Smith?
Correct.
And you were the winner last year?
Correct.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
So this is the second time you're in the competition or the third?
We've been in all 3 years. Last year we won Most Artistic and Best of Show.
And this year, it was delicious. Me and my husband, Robert, both enjoyed it really a lot. It was moist and yummy. Tell us about the inspiration behind this cake and what it's filled with.
Well, it's a European raspberry butter pound swirl cake with a white ganache filling. And then we ice it with a buttercream and then put a European or English roll fondant on the outside. It then has adorned with some pretty calla lilies that are mango calla lilies, as well as some orchids and some bows and fondant, and it's beautiful.
Well, it is beautiful. Do you design a lot of wedding cakes?
Sure do, all the time, yeah.
What's been your most unusual request?
I would say a Pueblo village.
Really? And was it for a tradition or a culture?
They actually were missionaries that worked down in Mexico and did a lot of, they just wanted to do that as their wedding cake.
How cool and interesting. What is your favorite detail on a wedding cake? Do you have one?
I don't really have one. There's so many options. Actually, today, if I got married again, I don't even know what I'd choose.
I totally agree.
Well, you know, these pastry chefs definitely had a lot of creativity.
Yeah, they really, took this very seriously.
Very seriously.
And wanted to create something that was memorable, both inside and outside.
Yeah, and I also think that there's a terrific opportunity, like Mark said earlier, about getting more pastry chefs involved and more participants. And I think, if anyone's listening to this podcast, they're definitely going to be want to be part of this competition.
Well, it grows every year. Every year they get more and more pastry chefs that want to be a part of it because it gives them a chance to show off what they can do.
Right.
For a good cause. You know, they really, it's not a self-serving kind of a thing. It's getting the word out about them, but it's to make this event better and more successful. So that's really what stands out in my mind.
And what I think is also cool, you know how many brides, you know, after they plan their wedding, they want to become a wedding planner. It wouldn't surprise me if there are a lot of women or men out there that love to bake and love to be, you know, pastry chefs, that really they may follow their, you know, a career possibly. You know, it could be very exciting listening to the students and the professionals both.
Especially since food has become such an item in our society, you know, where chefs are like rock stars.
Right. Yeah, well, look at the Food Network, my God.
Food Network, you know, it used to be you'd never know the identity of the person who was cooking your dinner, you know, and now it's all about who's cooking your
dinner. And there are signature looks, and you can express your own style.
Or baking your cake.
That
way. It was a wedding cake. All wedding cakes look the same.
But I also loved a lot of the cakes that we saw, you know, the details, you know, that you can impart, just like we talked about also earlier, like with the gowns, if someone had this Swarovski crystal that's so hot, you know, that could be part of the cake.
Any details from the wedding can be translated to the wedding cake. I remember years ago I did a wedding at the Ryland Inn, and the cake was designed to look like Wedgwood china. You know, right? That's the blue.
Yes.
So that was the cake. That was the design of the cake.
That must have been really pretty.
Yeah, it was very pretty. And that was kind of, you know, the mode of the wedding, but it was nice that.
But it's elegant and it's formal, and yet the color probably came into play also. But, you know, the judges are definitely an interesting lineup, right?
Absolutely. Ranging from magazine, wedding magazine editors to food critics to chefs, you know, in their own right, both chefs in general and pastry chefs. And we started off with speaking to Stefan from Georges Perrier, who is the pastry chef there. He was one of the judges, and I love his accent, even though I couldn't understand a little bit of it. But now in you know, listening back, obviously, he sounds great. So here's Stefan, one of the judges from Georges Perrier for this this Let Them Eat Cake competition.
So I'm Stefan Wojtowicz. I'm a head baker for Georges Perrier. I've been in the United States for 5 years now. Before that, I was in Lebanon for 7 years, as well as head baker. And it's one of my first experiences as a judge, you know, and it's pretty interesting to see a difference of, I will say, level of decorating cake. Some of cake are very nice from the outside, but it's not the same thing inside, you know. So it's pretty interesting to, of course, see the outside, but taste the inside. So
it's very nice. Do you think, in terms of when you're talking about cakes, is there a difference when you're baking a wedding cake versus another cake that the aesthetics, that the look and feel of the cake doesn't become as important, you know, in striking that balance?
I mean, a wedding cake is very important. It's like the masterpiece of the wedding, okay? So it's the centerpiece. So it should be nice, of course, nice. Good, well decoration, you know, and the taste, not for me, not too sweet, okay? Yeah, and a good taste, of course. You have to remember the cake. You have to remember the outside of the cake. You have to remember the inside of the cake. So if it's too sweet, I mean, you don't want to take another part, you know, of the cake. You don't want to go back to the cake. So you're a little bit disappointed. So I think you have to have a good balance, not an excess of decoration, and a very good taste. Not too sweet, you know, pretty. Not, I won't say fad, but I mean not too sweet, definitely.
What were some of the more memorable cakes that you judged tonight? Any particular flavors that surprised you that were a little bit more unusual?
Yeah, I got a lemon one, which surprised me and was very good. I can't tell you which number it was, but it was lemon, and I'm a lemon lover, so of course I like it.
How did the students do?
Pretty well, yeah. And also surprised by the level of the students. It's good, yeah.
Well, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, my name is Phyllis Stein Novak. I am the restaurant critic and food columnist for the South Philly Review. And I have been a food writer for, about 25 years. About 25. So I guess you could call me the dean of Philadelphia food writers and critics. I have judged contests like this before. And people say, lucky you. But it is very, very difficult to taste 30 sweet things. I mean, I was the only one drinking water, I noticed. I don't know how my colleagues could not have a sip in between. To see the artistry and the ideas, to see the use of color, to see how wedding cakes have changed since my husband and I were married 25 years ago is very, very unusual. In my day, our cakes were white, off-white. Now, my cake looked like a volcano with these chocolate curls all over it, and it was topped with fresh flowers. So I guess I was like a renegade even in those days. I didn't have a bride and groom, little tacky, you know, figures. But to see the dedication and artistry, baking is an art. It takes talent. It takes patience. And it is precise. It is chemistry. And if your eggs aren't the right size, if you knock in too much baking soda, if you didn't use the proper kind of flour, if you overcooked it, it's not going to be, you know, a triumph and a masterpiece. I have great respect for pastry chefs. It's something that I cannot do. I'm a real good cook, although I can make a pretty good carrot cake, you know, and brownies from scratch, but I would never, ever pick up a pastry bag. I would be intimidated. I don't have the patience for it, but I admire and respect the men and women in this town that do.
Now, were there any things that really kind of stood out to you, any of the cakes that you tasted tonight?
The chocolate, I thought, was very, very good. The chocolate with the chocolate mousse, I enjoyed very much. I guess I like buttercream. I am not a fondant person. I like buttercream. I think it's what gives the cake the flavor and the texture. The use of color as well. I saw that the first prize was a very autumn-looking cake, and I was most impressed with I said, oh, that's a November wedding, right, waiting to happen. I love the use of those beautiful colors, you know, the golds and the reds and the oranges and the burnt colors of fall. And then, of course, against the pale, it just popped right out at you, you know? So it's an admirable profession.
Hi, my name is Mike Giletto from Cherry Valley Country Club. Today we experienced some really exciting cakes. We have a lot of great flavors, a lot of great textures. A lot of the cakes blended well with the inner fillings as well as the outside. A lot of the icings were pretty much perfect. Some of them had a little bit grain to them, but overall the perception was well received. A lot of great comments from the other judges as well as myself. Some favorites out there. I have my own favorite. I'm not going to say until the finals, but it was really interesting. Some great cakes out there today.
Any surprises? Anything you know you tasted? You're like, wow, I didn't expect it to taste like this.
Yes, one of the cakes was pale white. When I bit into it, it had a very strong coffee liqueur flavor, which we were trying to figure out where it came from. The center filling was more of a white ganache, but overpowering of the coffee really stood out, and we still can't figure out where that came from. We think it might be a blend of the icing as well.
Okay. Talk a little bit about when a bride is thinking about her wedding cake. How much balance does there have to be with the overall menu in determining the
cake? Menu?
Yeah, there's either things that just don't, like you wouldn't recommend that to go together based on an overall menu as terms of, you know, cake is dessert,
right,
and that's how it'll be served.
Right.
What do you recommend in terms of planning the entire menu and incorporating the cake?
Well, this is obviously easy for me. I work a lot with chemistry in the kitchen. So now chefs are starting to understand the bonds and the lipids and the proteins and the fatty acids. So now with the overall proteins that the bride picks for her main course, we try and steer away from over-flavoring of certain inhibitors in the cake, such as maybe a lot of extracts. We try and keep it monotone, more level, more study-based, so it doesn't overpower the other food. Because, you know, cake is a rememberable thing. Somebody's going to remember that, and they'll remember the cake before they remember the food, and I hate to say that as a chef. You know, kudos to those pastry chefs out there. But when we design cakes, especially when I sit with my pastry chef, we sit and try to come up with some nice flow flavors. Obviously, if we have surf and turf, we want to stay away from something strong and pungent. We want everything to flow nice, have a nice sugary flavor, and overall blend. I mean, that's important for cakes, you know, and the brides actually are very thankful for that. Yeah.
Good. Thanks for your insight.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
First of all, I'm going to tell you that I'm Tom Cardwell, and I write about food around the city, different publications as well as online, and I'm well known for Tom's Table. And for Tom's Table Talks to Chefs. So I'm doing this all year round. This is my third year. I've been with City of Hope and Let Them Eat Cake since the beginning, and I'm glad they invite me back every year. Aside from the sugar rush that you do end up getting, eating as many as 23 cakes, which I think is the largest number of entries that we've had in 3 years, you'd notice a lot of different trends. I think wedding cakes in and of themselves have broken down the stereotypes of what a wedding cake should look like, and the shape, the color, the decoration, the taste, and even the filling. So if you like chocolate cake, you don't have to have a white cake for your wedding. You can have, you know, creams, and you can have berry jellies and all these wonderful fillings.
So the sky's the limit, right?
The sky really is the limit. Well, it's somebody's wedding, huh?
Well, what did you enjoy the most in this room from what you saw? I mean, I know you can't reveal your favorite, but, you know, what was the most unique and aesthetically pleasing, you know, and what, you know, friend, what do you think inspired these particular chefs?
Well, that's a good question, and I think that actually there were a lot of razzle-dazzle with a number of cakes, not just one or two, with the different colors, the shapes. Some cakes have themes, and then this year we have a number of cakes that are inspired by wedding gowns, and I thought that was very unique and nice, and I thought that might be an interesting trend for some people to go with and decide that their cake should complement the bride's wedding gown. What a wonderful idea.
I think what happens in weddings, looking around the room, is brides more and more are trying to personalize their wedding. And I think that from what I noticed around the room, I personally like, are the monogram, elements. and very elegant, whether you saw black and white, you know, which is very classic, but like one corseted, you know, I thought was very sexy.
Right.
Yet, you know, but what were the surprises inside? What really tantalized your taste buds?
A couple, well, you know, it always has to do with your own personal kind of taste in desserts. So anything with, you know, luscious creams, chocolate. There was one cake that even was like a chocolate chip inside that was kind of a surprise.
Fun.
For a wedding cake.
And I think a surprise is a good idea for brides and grooms, you know?
Yes.
Like, what is going to be inside the cake? It looks so pretty on the outside.
Exactly. And I also liked some of the themes. You know, there was one that was a Mardi Gras theme. So suppose you're from New Orleans or that's your favorite place to travel. Or I even thought about, suppose the bride and groom are going on their honeymoon to New Orleans. That could be a kind of fun segue from their wedding party, you know, and their wedding cake to their honeymoon.
And tie in the whole concept. What other themes should we share with our listeners that really took you away?
Well, there was I love the students, some of the students' cakes, to tell you the truth. Even though, you know, they're not in the professional competition, I thought they were very creative. And there was everything in terms of diversity as something that was very subtle and simple white cake with just lovely little green flowers that were very, very delicate. You could almost see through them. And on the other end was this very elaborate Asian theme cake. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I did.
And it's stunning.
I loved it. I loved it. I thought the execution was just right on.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that anybody who wants that influence as part of their day, what a beautiful centerpiece.
Exactly. And then I liked even the shape of cakes, that they're not all round, you know, and stacked. They're square, somewhere laid out in such a way that one of our categories is uniformity of layers. And the way the cakes are laid out, it's a little challenging to kind of measure it that way, the way you would traditionally do that. So I've noticed over the last 3 years, there's a lot of, you know, creativity and a lot of, you know, breaking out of the mold. No pun intended, because we're talking about cakes.
But do you think we're ever going to return to that classic white cake?
I think so, because there were a couple cakes that were very classic to me, some very feminine that and some that really spoke a kind of long tradition of wedding cakes. You know, there's one white cake, though, that then they use glass balls. Did you see
the
those?
Bubbles. Because, well, she said she was inspired by champagne, her favorite drink. So, again, I think it's also personal to the chefs in the room, because what they love, the colors they may love, the things they love, all were represented in the cake. And that's what brides and grooms should do when they're designing their wedding cakes, right? Do you agree?
I think you've got a very good point, because I think at this competition, a lot of the chefs do get to do things that are out of the box and maybe introduce a new concept or a new cake or new colors or a new theme that maybe, you know, they haven't been able to sell to the public yet. And this is, I think of this as also a kind of exhibition of the new and the exciting and the diverse.
I think it's great, and I hope all of our brides out there are inspired to do whatever they can dream about, because that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, these judges had, like I said before, a monumental task.
Definitely.
In tasting these cakes. I mean, we tasted them just casually.
But we did like some more than others.
Some more than others. And my wife, again, picks out a particular chef for me to taste.
I came and found you, and this was so crowded.
Found me.
How many people? There were so many people that came.
Brides, hundreds of people.
And grooms, and industry professionals,
and
people coming from all over. I mean, even though it was in Philadelphia. I think this is something that could be nationwide.
Yeah.
I really do. I think this could really...
Yeah. Mark is just fabulous. He does fabulous work.
So I go and I find you. I said, you must come and taste this cake.
This was Eric Berner's cake. We went to taste his.
Okay, we're with Eric
Berner.
And I thought his cake was very yummy, and you told me that this was the 24-hour cake.
Right. I made this cake starting yesterday afternoon about 2 o'clock. We finished today at 2.
And
and it works right through the night.
Well, it was so yummy. I loved the taste of the banana. Tell us a little bit more about the filling of the cake.
Well, I use banana instead of heavy cream, so it'll be a little bit lighter and not so mouth covering.
And what else is in there? Because you told me there's like a lot of yummy things inside your cake.
I soaked the chocolate cake with a little bit of bay leaf, peppercorn, a little coriander seed to lighten up the flavors. It's more refreshing that way.
So is banana something you've used a lot before in cakes, in wedding cakes?
Banana's a very universally popular fruit, so you can't lose with banana.
And you were saying about something you were trying to introduce, the herbs in the cake. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we like to put herbs in cake, especially when you're working with chocolate and heavy creams and different butters like that. It just makes it very light and refreshing. You can eat a big piece without feeling like it's a sinker in the stomach.
So are all of your wedding cakes, like, unique and one of a kind? Like, because this is very, very unusual. I was saying, like, I'm looking at the print and the design. It looks like it could have been inspired by a beautiful wallpaper design and marble.
Well, most of them are one of a kind, but we still sell probably more traditional vanilla and vanilla. That seems to be the most popular flavor.
Really? Vanilla? Really? Come on.
Well, no, it is. Vanilla and vanilla is the most popular flavor of wedding cakes.
So what would you want to tell brides out there listening about when they're choosing their wedding cakes? I mean, you're in the business for a long time, you said.
Consider your own taste first for a small piece, but then consider the general taste of all your guests more importantly. And that's why we sell a lot of vanilla and vanilla.
Because of the guests. Well, what about the students that are here today? Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I have 5 students here, ranging in different quarters of completion. And we sort of get them into the competitive nature. They compete with each other. They've all put in about 40 hours worth of work. And it's nice to get them out in the general public where they can hand out resumes and see what else is going on in the world.
It's a great experience. And I think that they may even consider going into a career in designing wedding cakes.
Well, we'll see. Actually, one of them is already doing that.
Do you personally have any cake designer that has inspired you?
I like Colette Peters out of Manhattan and Ron Ben Israel. He's also out of Manhattan.
We know both of them well, and we really love their designs, too. So you're in good company, then.
I someday hope to be as fluent as they are in cake decorating. This is more or less just a pastime.
Well, it's a treat to be part of this. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Enjoy your evening.
And, of course, Holly picked the winner of the Let Them Eat Cake.
That was pretty cool. When they called him,
Eric
I'm like,
Berner,
and I did taste,
was the winner.
I think, every cake in that room.
And we did go and taste him before.
So congratulations to Eric.
Yeah. And he was he's the instructor.
And his students, how excited were they?
Oh, they were screaming. It was
really
good.
Oh my God. Wasn't that cool that they were there to witness that?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really just such such a good feeling, good tasting event. And Philadelphia is one of our favorite cities. And we were so glad that we could be on hand to lend our support to the Let Them Eat Cake charity event for City of Hope.
Well, you know what? We all need to raise awareness,
Yeah.
And the much-needed funding for cancer treatment and research. And ultimately, that is why the event happens and why we were there to cover it.
Right. Exactly. And of course, we will have...
And I love when wedding industry partners with charity events.
Yeah. And of course, Mark came to this because of his own personal involvement with his mother and being able to honor her.
Her memory.
And her memory.
And honor her.
It was really great.
We must tell you, it was also fun because there was other vendors that were there.
Yeah, were there other vendors
and
that were involved?
And of course you heard the music in the background. So there was a big band.
Live music and
playing, so you feel as if, and it was at the Hyatt, right? What was the
it was at the Park Hyatt, Philadelphia, at the Bellevue,
right, at Broad and Walnut Streets,
really,
in Philadelphia. And it's a beautiful,
really,
it was a beautiful room. Wait, I got to share this other interesting bit,
Then we're running out of tape in the machine
because they this other little tradition thing. They said that if a single person sleeps with a piece of wedding cake under their pillow,
they end up with a crummy morning.
Right. Okay. Right. You see? Okay. They'll dream of their future spouse. Now, I don't know. I don't know about that either. But that was something that they used to talk about. And you know what? Listen, no matter how you slice it.
I just think wedding cake, my one bit of advice about wedding cake, and I learned this from our friend Sylvia Weinstock, is that wedding cake should be served as dessert. Don't wait till the very end of the night to serve your wedding cake, because your guests are not going to sit down to eat a piece of cake. If you serve it with dessert, then they're already sitting and having dessert, or better yet, serve it as dessert, and people will eat it, because ultimately that's what you want, is you want people to enjoy your wedding cake.
And should you decide to save it, like we talked about earlier, okay, there was, you know, I think the biggest tip would be, you know, wrapping it in 3 layers of saran wrap and then putting foil around it. And then another good tip is to put baking soda next to it. And
so it doesn't pick up probably
and,
the flavors.
And quite frankly, it still will smell like it's supposed to smell and taste moist and fluffy like it's supposed to. And tasting and smelling the way it's supposed to is right. What it's all about.
I think a vacuum sealer is the best way to go.
Oh, you do love that. But you know what? After all, the wedding is over and the cake has been cut and your sweet life as a married couple is about to begin.
La-di-da.
That's what it's about. I'm the romantic.
La-di-da. And I'm actually hungry for wedding cake right now.
Me too.
I never thought I would say that, but I am.
Me too.
Yeah, it was really such a fun event.
What I particularly enjoy is with Bridal Scene Live is that we're like Access Wedding. And I do particularly enjoy being in the excitement and the buzz of a live event covering it. And especially right. I feel that people that can't attend, you know,
right,
aren't able to attend.
Right.
You know, right.
It's your way in to the show. And you know,
we get in your ears
you
and you can live it.
Right.
You know, and, with us.
Right. And if you have a great event happening in your area, we'd like to know about it. So you can send us an email. Our email address is feedback@thewpn.com. That's feedback@thewpn.com. We would love to hear from you, or you can call our listener hotline, which is 800-882-1259. And you can leave us a message there, and maybe we'll play it on the air at some future date.
And you should also check out our website, because we will have links in the show notes. And you can also find all of our other great original programming
right.
at WeddingPodcastNetwork.com.
Right. And what you should definitely do is you should sign up for our newsletter.
That's on the homepage.
On the homepage.
On the top right.
Every page, actually, is a sign-up box on the upper right for our newsletter. And you can sign up and get all of our emails. We won't bombard you with a lot, we promise. And that way you can hear about what we're doing and the programming that's coming up. And you can check that out. And we'd love for you to sign up for our email newsletter that way. And definitely visit our website, because we've got some really great resources there. This has really been a pleasure being with you. This is Bridal Scene Live, covering the Let Them Eat Cake event in Philadelphia. I'm Robert Allen.
And I'm Holly Ehrlich.
And we'll see you next time.